About the law.
Murphy's Law Podcast, your host, Ian Murphy.
And I'm just like,
this is hard for him to hold back.
So much I want to share.
Remove all the emotion from all of this stuff.
And they never wanted this to happen to the citizens again.
We never stop growing as an individual. Right. So.
All right, welcome to this week's episode of Murphy's Law Podcast. I have to say that kind of slow now so I don't mess it up. With me.
Murphy's Law?
What?
No herpes. Herpes
no. Reverse. Nope. Between
two dicks, again.
Dick one, dick two. I'm Ian. That's Chris. Thanks for tuning in. Whether you're on the podcast, whether you're listening to us on Spotify, YouTube, Apple, wherever, we're all over the place now. We figured we'd give you a quick update on a few things. We'll go through a bunch of different stuff, but
yeah, common trend. To
yeah.
All this stuff. A lot of corruption and hypocrisy.
Yeah. You know, a lot of times some of this stuff is kind of serious. You know, it has been lately a lot about these cases that are going on around the state, that kind of stuff. But there are some adjacent things that are happening that are kind of interesting that I thought I kind of would want to get
it's
your
kind
take
of ironic.
On. Yeah. So the first one that is actually kind of interesting is very recent. The Whitmer kidnapping plot trial
know about
came
that.
To an end Friday?
Yeah, Friday.
Right?
Yeah, and no convictions.
Right. Yeah, it got kind of muddled up because some of the defendants were separated, some different charges and different things, but most everybody is probably familiar with it. There was a kidnapping plot by five guys?
Four.
Four guys?
Yep, four guys.
And then it turns out that one of these guys ends up being an FBI agent and was kind of embedded with them. And then, as it turns out, looks like he may have had a little bit more involvement and kind of was pushing this thing in a direction that some would argue it may not have gone to if it weren't for this FBI agent kind of pushing things along, as it were. So naturally, they're claiming... and it seems successfully now that, you know, what's the word for it?
Entrapment. Well, and it's also a lot of what was used in the defense was the First Amendment. That little thing we use, the First Amendment.
Yeah.
You know, basically the defendant's saying that I can say whatever the hell I want to say. I'm allowed to say I don't like somebody, but you don't have any actions to back it up. I haven't done anything. And, of course, the governor's office is spinning this into this is giving everybody a right and encouraging more violence. I don't recall.
You know, it's I've kept kind of adjacent to this ever since I had heard about the plane trip last 2021 at some point early on. Maybe it was almost about a year ago, just over a year ago, when she flew down to Florida.
Oh, that was more recent than that.
To see her father.
That wasn't publicized.
Right, and I think it was Blue Cross Blue Shield lent out the jet for her on that one.
But the governor's office made it clear that, you know, no state money was used for it.
I didn't pay much attention to the whole thing because I thought it was just a bunch of nonsense and bullshit to begin with. By no means am I trying to defend what these guys were doing.
No.
You know, I have guns. You have guns. I'm a first, you know, a free speech type of person.
No, really?
So are you. But, you know, with some of the things that they were doing and saying, probably a little bit out there. Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
But again, you know, that's why that particular right comes first.
Well, and you know, it's also, we haven't talked a whole lot about the January 6th at the Capitol either, but like using the term insurrection.
Yeah.
Which I don't see that in any way, shape, or form as an insurrection. Nobody was trying to overthrow the government.
It would be interesting to see a Google search for that term over the last 24 months, 36 months, that kind of thing, and to see that trend of how, you know, it just, I don't know, it's popular nomenclature now. Whether you agree and how it's being applied or not, that's not really what I'm here to debate. But
no, and it's amazing because it lends back to the hypocrisy again.
Yeah.
Of that if you don't agree with us, you're labeled as something else.
Right.
If we do it, it's a peaceful protest. If you do it, it's an insurrection.
The whole thing is weird. So, you know, they went through the process. The jury basically, I believe, was hung pretty much on more or less. Yeah, they couldn't agree on charges.
And I think there's two of the defendants that are, it was a mistrial, so the state has the option to retry them again.
That's right.
For two of them.
So it's kind of interesting to see, but again, the reason why I've been paying attention to it and the reason why I thought it would be interesting to discuss really quick is because she was using that as cover, the governor was, to conceal her travel plans down to Florida when our state was in full mode lockdown last year. And then we find out that she takes a private chartered flight that was paid for monies that don't coincide with election law, I believe.
And that was Blue Cross Blue Shield?
I don't know enough about, I think it was. You know, obviously there's some ties there.
But yeah, we were talking family, before we went on air that I'm pretty sure you're supposed to disclose these things.
Yeah, and I think I don't know enough about election law. There's smarter people than you and I that I'm sure are looking into this, but it goes along with that narrative that has been talked about for 2 years, you know, the rules for thee but not for me. And this just seems like it's another case of it.
Well, and also it lends back to, if you go back even further, to remember the vacation cottage.
Yeah.
When her husband got all the, you know who my wife is.
Right.
You know, nobody's supposed to leave. Nobody's supposed to leave their homes. Nobody's supposed to go travel or boating or anything else. And
a lot of other people in the state forget about that, but us northern folks don't, because it was such a slap in the face to us. Because a lot of us, my family included, are in the action sports business up here as it relates to boating, wakeboarding, snowmobiling, side-by-siding, that kind of
and
stuff.
We've
got my brother-in-law has a business putting docks in and out for the summertime. You know, so some of these things kind of hit home. So it's to see this whole thing come around now, whether you want to call it vindication for them or not, we'll let you, you know, that's for you to decide. I just find it interesting that they've gone through this process. They have now been, whatever you want to call it, acquitted. But it's another thing that has been taken away from the governor that she was at one point using as a tool to conceal her movements and what she was doing and basically remove transparency at a time we should have had more transparency than ever.
And it's funny, you know, as things are unfolding and a lot of what we've talked about with, you know, the MCL being stricken, you notice how silent the governor's office has been?
Yeah.
It's like she just kind of...
Yeah, election mode has a lot to do with that. You know, the things that she's propping up right now to get some applause, and it's very easy to look at the signaling coming from, you know, her Facebook page and some of her social media. So it's a very interesting narrative that is coming around now. This is happening. She's now been using mandate lockdown laws now twice, found unconstitutional. You know, and really quickly, I might add that last week, I forget now, these weeks start chunking by, when the state Supreme Court had issued their order denying the health department's bypass application to their Supreme Court. They basically said no, but we have been highlighting, and it's interesting because one of the other things that's in the news right now, of course, is a new variant. B2, is that what they're calling it now?
I'm pretty sure that's what they're calling it now.
Which, my understanding is it's supposed to be even a little bit more... contagious than Delta, but is supposed to be as equal or less severe, and death rate is supposed to be somewhere in line with,
you know,
with
is that
Delta.
The one Nancy Pelosi just got?
I
know she tested positive.
Are they even tracking the other ones anymore? I don't know. But the important things, the reason why I mentioned that is, so in this ruling from the Supreme Court that we talked about briefly on the last podcast, because of the dissenting justices, two of them, and further on down, I highlighted and I mentioned it last time, but it's worth mentioning again because there is a new variant out there, and I'm sure there will probably be several more, but it's important for everybody to know that they cannot issue, the health department, cannot issue, the governor's office cannot use MCL 333.2253.
Or the Emergency Powers Act.
They
which
cannot.
They did.
That is gone. That is completely gone. That is a law that is no longer on the books.
And those two dissenting justices labeled that as a fear, a concern.
Yeah.
That without these, should a new variant come along?
So this did get kicked back down to the Court of Appeals if they decide to hear it. That was part of the dissenting justices. The affirming justices' argument was that at least, if anything, the Court of Appeals should hear it first and then make its way up if that were.
Well, and hopefully the Court of Appeals decides not to hear it as well. But even if they do, I mean, I think Dave has put together such an ironclad thing with, you know, all the win after win.
Yeah, and still winning.
And still winning. You know, any reasonable court.
So no more lockdowns, you guys. It's really, really important that everybody understands that they cannot use this to lock us down anymore. They locked us down into this longer than anything else. Mm-hmm. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back. The mid-afternoon show. I'm your host, Jerry Terry. With me, as always, Shlomo. So,
none called worse.
One of the things that we didn't really talk about since we've been off for spring break is I can't even talk about this with a straight face. The Oscar slap. There's been so many stupid names. And people are so unoriginal anymore these days. It was first called Slapgate, and it's like, come on.
Then the slap heard around the world.
Are we that unoriginal anymore?
It's obviously a yes, but... You know, the next morning, watching one of the morning shows, and one of the hosts was, I just don't know what to think. I've never seen anything like this before.
Wasn't it fun to watch the arc of opinions as more kind of information started coming out about how he was asked to leave and he refused to leave, mm-hmm. and then he's partying the night away, holding his Oscar,
dancing backstage,
and then, you know, so
crying.
The whole thing to me, you know, I always talk about entitlement and virtue signaling and going along with the crowd. We have seen so much of that going along with the crowd bullshit in the last 2 years. So I just it is funny to me to see this whole thing and everybody's reaction, and you know, the alopecia thing, and people get offended about that, and then back Will up, and then not back Will up, and then back Jada up, and then back Chris up, and then this, and then that, and the other.
But Will laughed his ass off at first,
right?
Until he got the look from Jada.
I mentioned Bill Maher before we started recording, and this last Friday, he gave what he called a Zapruder film breakdown of the slap.
Oh, he did a play-by-play?
He did a play-by-play, and it was great. Awesome. He showed the multiple angles, and he showed Will laughing, and then he showed Jada's eye roll, and then the ensuing, you know, whatever that was, uncorking of...
Just an awkward, whatever. Too.
I mean, it's a slight mental illness, I think, to do that in front of those people. I mean, this is supposed to be one of the most... or the most prestigious
allegedly,
award.
The second worst ratings in history of the awards.
To me, it was it reeked of entitlement for him to get up there and do that. I mean, he is a comedian.
Chris Rock was getting paid he was doing what he gets paid to do.
The jokes that they weren't allowed to tell the other hosts that got struck, I mean, it's just kind of like the whole thing is so ridiculous.
Well,
and then the entitlement on top of the whole thing to be able to sit there and allowed to be to still sit there and then be given an award and then say I'm sorry and then to break down in tears and not apologize to Chris. I mean, I've always been a fan, but I always think people have this weird idolization of celebrity, mm-hmm. and professional athletes and almost politicians, obviously.
Oh, definitely politicians.
Obviously lately, which I think is a problem. But it just, the whole thing is so strange to watch the entire arc, and it almost is like watching people melt down on social media.
Mm-hmm.
You know, making a tweet and then deleting it. But somebody already saw that tweet and it's out there, and you can't take it back, and you just should have had a little bit of foresight beforehand.
Well, and now the outrage over possibly adding an edit button on Twitter.
Oh, I didn't hear about this.
Oh, yeah. Elon, well, he didn't propose it. He just asked a question. Would you guys like the ability to hit edit on a tweet? And that side has gone batshit crazy now because nobody should be able to edit their tweets.
Oh, that's ridiculous. I didn't hear about that. That's interesting.
Yeah.
Well, the whole Elon Musk thing is.
Well, and you know, the other thing about Will Smith is, like, you think about this and that, going back to the talk show host and how stricken she was with it. Didn't know what to think because of how horrible it was. Have you seen what's going on in Ukraine, and you're worried about Will Smith slapping Chris Rock?
Oh, that's
just Chris Rock?
The entitlement thing.
It's absurd. Or could you imagine if Chris Pratt had slapped Chris Rock?
Right.
What the conversation would be?
Oh, yeah, that's a great question.
I mean,
you know, I never really thought about that either.
It's absurd, but the way this whole thing is just, you know, I heard somebody say it great the other day. They're like, you know, Will Smith was like the last Hollywood A-lister that I would go see because it was a Will Smith movie. Yeah. Didn't even know the plot, just knew Will Smith was in it. I would go see. He just done muffed that up to the point where there's no such thing as an A-lister anymore.
Yeah,
think
he's losing deals already.
Yeah, I mean, nobody cares about the Oscars.
I would say that one of the other top words that it has been brought into pop culture now, besides that word insurrection before, would have to be the term cuckold.
I thought you were going to say woke.
Well, that's been around for years. People are just finally trying to understand exactly the damage that's done. But anyways, enough about that. Everybody, ad nauseum, people have been talking about that stupid shit for 2 weeks now.
Yeah, it's absurd.
And I'm sure it'll be talked about ad nauseum moving
forward.
Oh,
he's banned for 10 years now.
Zippity-doo-dah. Oh, no.
Oh, no.
I won't be able to attend a self-grandizing ceremony. Shucks. Wait,
nobody watches it anyway, so I mean...
He'll try to create his own or something, probably. Anyways, one thing we want to talk about, since we're kind of talking about current events, we've been talking a lot about our festival that we have coming up,
Fuel
Memorial
Fest.
Weekend, Fuel Fest. So we have a big party planned for Memorial Weekend on Sunday. We have Comedy Central comedian Dave Landau is headlining. We also have, and we can't announce exactly who, but we've got one of the contestants from season 9 of The Voice is going to be here as well, plus a couple of other acts that are going to be joining. So we're expecting about 1,500, maybe 2,000 people or so to storm right downtown here.
Don't use the word storm.
Oh, yeah, that's probably correct.
Insurrection behind the pig.
Better not do that.
I don't know.
So we're gonna have a big party. We'll have a stage. It's right downtown. There's plenty of parking. We have plenty of hotel rooms here in town. Resorts are right here. The really cool thing about this is Gaylord City Council last year enacted the social district permit.
It's going into effect.
So they actually got it in effect last year, but it was kind of the end of the season, so nobody really got to take advantage of that. But this, I'm hoping, will be one of the big first events that any of the other restaurants that partake in the social district, you'll be able to take that glass, put it into an obnoxious, bright-colored, like, Solo cup, and you can leave the Iron Pig, and you can go down and visit somewhere else. You can go out.
I mean, think about it. So you decide you want some... chocolate covered potato chips.
Yeah.
Grab your drink, put it in the cup, walk on over.
Exactly.
You know, if you want to go shopping, go buy some clothes.
You can take your margarita down the street, go to the ATM and get some more cash and come back.
Yep. No more chug and run. But you know, now that you brought up Fuel Fest, I was reading, going through Facebook, and this is something worth bringing up. I mean, Fuel Fest has nothing to do with fuel or gas. So I think it'd be nice actually if you spend a minute talking about what fuel actually stands for.
So really what this is an iteration we've talked for the last year and a half since we did the Freedom Rally. That term has kind of been co-opted by some other people, and we want to be a little bit more inclusive as well. And what we really want to do is to be able to create an event downtown that is not necessarily politically driven, but is more community driven. And when I say community, it's the community of our supporters that have helped us keep the lights on. We never did a GoFundMe account.
Nope.
The only way that we were able to pay the bills the legal bills, the light bills, the insurance bills is because people have come here during the shutdown and supported us. So what we wanted to do was another festival like we did in January, but add to it a little bit more, not just music. We want to bring in somebody that has some commentary that is also very funny. So Dave Landau is a third chair on Steven Crowder's podcast,
Louder with Crowder.
So there is a little bit of political commentary. There's a lot of woke comedy in there, if you will, since we were just talking about that. His act is hilarious. He's on...
Check him out.
Check out his website. I think it's davelandau.com. He's on YouTube, but he's also, I think in next week maybe, I think he's going to be in Royal Oak. So I'm actually going to I'm hoping to get down to his show.
Oh, that'd be fun.
Maybe con him into, you know, let me have a minute on stage to let everybody know about this show that he's going to be doing for us.
Well, and Fuel itself is an acronym.
It is an acronym.
Let everybody know what that actually stands for.
That's the next part of it, right? So moving away from the Freedom Rally, and when the rally moniker is where people really start to think that it's more of a political thing. We kind of want to move away from that, and as we say, celebrate our win, and we say ours, not just us, but it's everybody that has been supporting us. So we have this great space out back. So the acronym is for Fuel is Freedom, Unity, Enterprise, and Liberty. So the enterprise portion, all the other ones should be pretty obvious. The enterprise portion of it is we are in business. That is the entire point of why we started this battle, was to keep our restaurant open.
And why getting this stricken was so important, because it killed so many businesses.
And they can no longer use that. So that's what Fuel stands for: Freedom, Unity,
Enterprise,
and Liberty. So there are tickets that are on sale. FuelFestNFT.com. One of the other things that's a little bit different about what we're doing with this, so there's regular general admission tickets, and there's also kids tickets available at a discounted price. So I think up till about 8:30, so run 4 to 10 roughly, out back under our tent. The first 3 hours, roughly 2.5 hours, is going to be kid-friendly. And then I believe roughly 8:30, it's going to roll over to a 21 and over crowd. Obviously, you'll be able to take beverages out there. We'll have food, our food. I think we're bringing in one or two food trucks.
That tent's going to hold like 2,100 people.
There's a huge ton of space. And that's the idea. So, you know, the people that own our property here, they own a bunch of property on this 100 block. And we have talked for years about doing something other than, you know, the Alpenfest that is here. That takes up the majority of our parking lot
Something a little different atmosphere.
Yeah, exactly. You know, bring more people downtown is the obvious point of that.
I got to tell you, I'm looking forward to this in so many ways, but most importantly, for not freezing my ass off Freedom Fest.
That was cold.
It was cold as hell.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, we don't have to worry about heaters. We don't have to worry about any of that stuff. So that'll be nice. It's going to be a lot of fun. So we're going to add a couple of more music acts. We're going to announce who the talent is from season 9 of The Voice. Everybody's going to be very impressed with this guy. And I believe the reason why I can't announce yet is because we're trying to figure out if he's going to bring his entire band or a smaller portion of the band.
Ooh, there's a
hint. On The Voice, they turn around when they hear, because you don't get to see them right away. You hear, you hit the button, they spin around, and then they vie for whoever. Anyways, so
sounds like you're kind of a fan.
I'm learning these things as I go. I don't watch a lot of TV for obvious reasons. I hate commercials.
And when you do, it's closed circuit.
Yes. So there's that. But the other part of that is that we are also selling our first NFT, a non-fungible token. And a lot of people don't really know what NFTs are. And we'll start describing exactly what our non-fungible token is and what the perks that it offers you. And it's a lot of these NFTs lately have been based around, well, a lot of people have known them from memes or from artwork.
Yep, GIFs,
right.
Just different.
The simplest way to put it for an NFT is it's like a stock certificate. You know, if you had a Monet painting, you would go and have that verified that is an authentic painting, and you've got a certificate, and that says that Chris has got a Monet painting. And when you go to sell that lends to its value that certificate. So,
and we used an example before, and there's been a lot of artists like Snoop Dogg. has a new album. You can only get it if you buy as an NFT.
I think it's the whole label. We were talking about that the other day. The whole label is an NFT.
Really?
So it's not just one album. It's every album from that label you now can share in the profits from that label.
Which
is a death row. Yeah. So, I mean, there's a million different ways that these things are being spun out. And we've talked about it for a while now. We were going to release just a regular graphic NFT at first. And we kind of got talking about some of the innovative ways that these things are being spun out. And what we are trying to do is we've created this pass, the Fuel Pass. And what it does is a number of things. But the one thing that people really want to key in on is, besides it being your pass to get into Dave Landau's show and that the Fuel Fest.
And the awesome party.
Every single Fuel Fest, every single event that we do from here on out, you get in for free. One time, one pass, among a bunch of other perks, discounts, merch discounts,
VIP.
Exclusive content,
yep.
Your own website to go through to see your discounts and all this other stuff. But the kicker on this deal
is... That's
what
I'm waiting for. The big one.
We are tying every additional NFT to this original. So the next one that is coming, that we're working on as this one's being minted, is going to be tied to our lawsuit. So our class action suit that we hope to take to the court of claims.
To hold all these people accountable.
To undo and hold accountable all 2,000 plus restaurants that closed in the last 2 years. Actually, I think it's more than that now.
Yep.
So that's what we're hoping to do with our next iteration of NFT, is to allow those people that have been supporting us for the last 2 years to have more than just a t-shirt that they bought while supporting us.
But potential reward.
So, and we sold tons of those. I mean, we've lost track of how many t-shirts we sold, you know, during the shutdown last year. And that was our GoFundMe account.
Yeah.
So this is an attempt to repay that in kind. Even a GoFundMe account is an amazing, but you don't really get anything for that other than the sense of satisfaction that you're a part of it.
And with this actually part of the gives going you forward.
This actually gives you skin in the game, and it has value to it, and you can turn around and sell it or them depending on how many you buy.
And as the Iron Pig continues to win, you potentially can win too.
Yeah, that's the big kicker on that whole thing. You get in now, and I think we're only minting about 3,000 of these original tokens.
So if you do happen to check out the website to see what they're going for now you understand why it may look like a little higher price and ticket, because there's way more at stake and you're getting way more out of it.
That first, yeah, when you go to Price Slides, we teamed up with our friends at Price Slide again, which is just a dynamic pricing model. So as more people purchase an item, we've done this with our t-shirts,
yep,
and our gift cards, the more people purchase, the cheaper everyone. So you commit at an initial price, and as more people buy in, it gets cheaper for everyone. So it initially started, the NFT started at $500.
I think it's under $399.
I just think it's lower than that. I think
last
it's almost
$399. So it's dropped that much.
It's dropping. I think there's maybe 20 days left in that sale. But if you scroll down further on that page, you'll see a general admission,
which I think last night was at like was it $30 or $15?
Yep. And I think that will slide down all the way maybe to $29 or something crazy, and then the kids are down to $15. So that's a very, we've been lucky to partner with those guys since 2020 or 2019, actually, when we did our first gift card price slide. And it has been very interesting to see a tech company come around, and
it's kind of cool watching it move.
That iteration as we've gone through it. They do things with other companies than just us, but these exclusive things, like the gift cards and t-shirts, they mainly do events, which this is right in their wheelhouse for doing Fuel Fest.
So if you're watching, decide you want to partake, you want to make sure you get in, buy your ticket today at $30, whatever it may be. But if it drops down to $20, that's what you're going to be ultimately charged.
Yeah, exactly. So you,
so
commit,
you don't have to worry about
price.
Locking right now,
yep,
and paying now and getting screwed and somebody buying it.
It's
for
only
going
to get cheaper.
Yeah,
that's the thing. It's
cheap.
Only going to get.
So if you commit
price
today,
only
to these prices, it could drop another $10-$20. You're going to get the lowest price.
FuelFestNFT.com is where all the information, all the goodies that come included with that, We have exclusive content, stuff from our TV show that's coming out. We'll have behind-the-scenes stuff that only NFT holders will be able to have access to as well.
A lot of talk about that pilot.
Oh, yeah,
up.
There we go. Yeah, if you get a chance, check out Dave Lando. He's got a bunch of clips on YouTube. He is going to be, I think, at Royal Oak the 19th of April, I think, maybe. This should be out before that. So enough about that. Let's talk about how we doing on timing, producer. Let's take a quick break. We'll throw in most likely an Iron Pig commercial, I'm sure. Thanks for joining us. We'll be right back.
Colin, Hunter.
All right.
The man of the hour there.
Be serious, all right? This is serious shit.
I am serious.
All right. Yes. Serious faces and all. Thanks for joining us after the illustrious commercial break. Refills.
Yep. Cheers.
Sláinte. So,
available for purchase at the
this,
bar.
This segment. Yeah, these two, actually.
Yeah.
Great product plug there, buddy. Thanks for that.
Retail.
If only the producer had figured that one out.
He's an ass.
Anyway, so there is no new news in our case other than something that is kind of funny, and it kind of goes to show more fumbling by the Attorney General's office.
Yes.
I guess specifically by the Assistant Attorney General.
Wait, Dana hasn't missed up.
Never. Not yet.
No. U of M, wheelchair,
she partying. She sucks. She sucks.
Tailgating.
I mean. Anyways, so one of the things these brilliant minds at the Attorney General's office forgot to do.
You said that with a straight face.
Well, yeah, because I've been drinking. Not enough. They forgot to order transcripts of the hearings.
It was at that point Darren knew he fucked up.
Yeah, done fucked up. Which is kind of, it's sort of irrelevant in the overall things. Every jurisdiction's a little bit different when it comes to these transcripts. There used to be court stenographers right there. Everybody's seen them if you've watched a courtroom drama. They're done electronically now. My understanding is, this is Colin Hunter, by the way.
Yep.
Our courts in Northern Michigan, they farm that out.
Didn't know.
What?
That was Colin Hunter.
Gangsta. Oh. Anyways, so they maybe were under the assumption that it was automatically, those transcripts of the hearing were automatically going to get sent to this to the Court of Appeals and the Supreme Court. Well, anyways, he did not order them for whatever reason. Maybe it was just a mistake, another. Or he assumed that they would be automatically filed. Well, they're not. So the court actually had to request the transcripts be sent. And I don't really know what that means. I don't think it's either here nor there. I think it's just a formality.
I think it might actually be just arrogance on their part.
I just, you know, it's another thing, like I've said from the beginning, you just see these things as just complete fumbles. And you know that these people really are clueless on some of this stuff. This seems like a procedural error that these people are in these positions for a reason.
Well, not even him, not even just Darren.
But they he's have got people so have many
people.
People
who have other people.
Yeah.
Who have other people to make sure all this shit gets done.
David and I, our attorney, and I think he has an assistant that works for him.
You've got a force of none.
Amazing assistant.
You have a huge force of none.
You know what I mean? And then these people have, I forget how many AGLs
they are. Oh, we're paying for them all.
Or assistant attorney generals. But it blows my mind that these, it's like, this is an important case, as so you even state. And it's just, it's like, I didn't know the Detroit Lions were also playing for the attorney general's office. You know,
I think the Lions would have a better chance of winning this case than the state.
Well,
and that's bad.
So I actually use that analogy because it's always the Lions' game to lose. I shouldn't say always, but more often than not, the most painful ones seem to be our games to lose, right?
Painful.
So at one point, they thought the health department. It was there. Like they had it. They had. They thought they were sure. They knew exactly.
They've had a sense of arrogance the entire time.
Oh, exactly.
Even when they went to Judge Hunter, and basically said, "Listen, no matter what you say, it's not relevant anymore. Nothing you say matters. We're bypassing you." Well, yeah. Guess what? They're wrong.
We'll never know, but I am curious if the Attorney General is second guessing having Darren continue with this case, because there's a couple of assistant attorney generals on this. I mean, Dana probably could have stepped in herself if she thought it was this important. You don't want to step on other, your
I don't know
your
how
assistants.
He got his job. I mean, how? We'll talk about that later, but yeah.
I don't know either. From what I have witnessed and his demeanor in his hearings or in the Zoom court, can't say courtroom anymore, it seems like. But.
No, but if you're an attorney in 2022 and you can't operate Zoom, God help you.
Well, again, there's just things that they didn't even argue in the appeal hearing with Judge Hunter. They didn't even argue the core of the case.
Well, and even when they bypassed the appellate court and went to the Supreme Court, it was the House and Senate that came back and said, wait, hang on. You've never even explained to us why. You didn't explain to us why you disagree and why you want to skip the appellate court or the Supreme Court. You haven't explained to any of us why we're here.
So anyway, enough about that. There's nothing going on with that, with our case. If anything were to happen, it would be the Court of Appeals would take up the application, because they did apply first to the Court of Appeals, and then the very next day
they did what's called
a bypass and went over their heads. Supreme Court said, now, if anything, at least let the Court of Appeals look at it, and so on and so forth. So we're sitting idle. It could sit in the Court of Appeals for forever and all of a sudden get decided. Either way, we're going to keep marching forward. But as of today, there cannot be any more mandated lockdowns,
statewide.
Closing of restaurants, closing of barbershops, closing of gyms, any of that other nonsense. Everybody should be able to get their boats out next month. So enough about that. Let's talk about two other cases.
These are fun.
That are adjacent, as I like to say, to what we do. The Comstock case against the public schools.
Yep.
Around the Kalamazoo area. We have a vested interest in this, not because we share counsel, but mainly because our win was also cited in their mask mandate at the schools case.
Well, and this one is the one that we're going to go back to hypocrisy and corruption, because it's been interesting. And as a matter of fact, we verified before we started recording today that Kalamazoo Public School is still under mask order. They are still required, even today, to wear masks April 10th, 2022. The only ones around there that have to wear masks.
Yeah, that's my understanding. It's just Comstock Public Schools. There are other schools that have dropped those mask mandates, but Comstock Public Schools still has one in effect, is my understanding.
See this cute picture up here.
So we have talked about this case in previous podcasts a little bit, mainly under the heading of curiosity and potential obvious corruption.
So this is the one where one judge in that area stepped forward and said, listen, all of these cases come to me, period. So this case was presented to him, and he went MIA. We don't know where. I mean,
oh, he went on vacation. No, we know where. He went on vacation.
He went on vacation.
A very, very long, like 3 week vacation.
With no correspondence.
So what? You can go on vacation. Great.
But at least address your caseload. So the oversight committee that watches the court system.
Scowl
realized that he was not available. Pulled the case from him and reassigned the case to another judge. She heard the case and immediately issued an emergency temporary restraining order to lift the mask mandate and make things right with the world again. Going back, I'm just going to say it. Dipshit comes back from vacation, and I'm not sure how or under what authority, says, you know what, even though another judge made a decision, I'm overturning that, rescinding the emergency order, and putting the mask mandate back in effect for Comstock schools.
Yep.
These pictures are about to show you where it gets pretty interesting.
So let me pause really quick. So those comments right there are confusing.
The whole thing's confusing.
But in our case, the reason why they want the Supreme Court to decide if that's unconstitutional or not is because of the confusion that it could potentially cause.
Mm-hmm.
Stop. This guy, Judge Lipsy, right here, he is the one that is actually causing confusion.
He's right? Judge Vacation.
It's Vacation Judge McGee.
Yeah.
So what he is doing is exactly what the state is saying is causing confusion. There's a lawsuit to issue an injunction against this mask mandate against the kids in school, which is bullshit science, by the way. Yeah. I'm just going to say it right now. There shouldn't be masks on kids
science,
in school.
If you follow science, science has changed.
Shouldn't be masks on. There no. still shouldn't be masks on. So a judge, Judge Lightfoot, says, okay, I'm going to issue a temporary restraining order. The mask can come off.
No more mask.
No more mask mandate. Judge Lipsy hears about it. And I wonder how he heard about it. Now, of course, these are obvious colleagues. Surely he heard about it. But there's a reason
surely
why.
Surely he got a phone call.
There's a reason why this particular picture is on the screen. And hopefully you guys can see this when you're watching this. So,
where's the cast?
This gal in the. Is that chartreuse? I don't even know what color that is. Sorry, not trying to fashion shame him, but maybe kind of a Karen haircut.
That does, yeah.
Oh, for sure.
If I described a Karen, I think that's.
What was
pretty...
the TV show? What was that gal that was that had the that crazy Karen haircut? Doesn't matter. Anyways, so this gal right here just happens to be, drumroll, the Kalamazoo School Board President. So Judge Vacation is seen here with the Comstock School Board President.
And weren't these all, again, during the same time that mask mandates were in effect for her school district?
Yes.
And pretty much the rest of the state and a lot of
Judge Vacation
respects.
Hears about Judge Lightfoot's rescission, the issuing the temporary restraining order, pulling off the mask mandates. So here he is. I'm not really sure when this was taken, but here he is clearly having a good time with the Kalamazoo School Board President. So the next one we'll show. That's Judge Lightfoot.
Yep.
Yeah. Hey, so blow that up a little bit if
her.
You can.
Didn't we just see her in the previous slide?
So, everybody should know who this person is.
Big Gretch!
Big Gretch. I love that she calls herself Big Gretch. Like, every tweet and it's Big Gretch. Hashtag Big Gretch. Anyways, so everybody knows that's the governor. Guess who that is? That is the lady in yellow. School board...
You don't say.
Board president. Canoodling. Yep, so Judge Vacation, school board president, Governor Whitmer. Now, remember, this is the school system. So, do you think that the big, bad school union is paying attention to any of this?
No,
Ian.
They're too focused. They're too focused on the kids' education.
Yeah,
they don't care about. They don't get into politics.
Right. So, let's go one more. Yeah.
Well, yeah. That's the one.
So, the gal with the umbrella, right here. Obviously, we can guess when this was taken. Somewhat recently.
10 years ago.
This happens to be Judge Lipsy's wife.
Judge Vacation.
Yeah. And then this gal right here happens to be Comstock Schools
Superintendent. Weird.
So Judge Vacation's wife with Comstock School Board President.
And the school board president.
And the
governor.
Yep.
Can you connect the dots?
Yep. So, I mean, it just kind of really becomes very, very fishy when one judge issues a temporary restraining order and then Judge Vacation comes back in all of a sudden and rescinds another judge's. So that's what we're looking into right now, is what the precedence is that he's going to cite, or he did cite, to pull another judge's temporary restraining order.
But does that smell to anybody else? You've got the governor, superintendent, school board president, and Judge Vacation.
I love that term.
I don't think there's been any communication between. It's all circumstantial. But again, we don't understand how a judge can come in and overturn another judge's, not like going to the Court of Appeals, just overturning another judge's decision.
Right.
But as you look through these photos and see the dots being connected all the way up from governor, from Big Gretch, superintendent, school board president, and Judge Vacay all of a sudden stepping back up and picking his phone back up and turning the phone call to overturn it. That, again, I'm curious to see, does he have the actual authority to do that?
So, pull up Judge Lightfoot's photo real quick, if you would. Now, I'm sure that she probably has some political affiliation. I do not know what it is. I'm sure that she
Everybody
has probably taken pictures with other, you know, folks that are in politics. We don't have any. Show Judge Hunter's picture too, please. These two folks have made some pretty important decisions in the last 90 days.
They stood up.
And I haven't been inundated with anything. I have a feeling I know Judge Hunter's political affiliation, which shouldn't show up in his rulings, and I don't think that it did in this case.
No, and the fact that he and Lightfoot made decisions and stood against the popular grain is a huge thing, because there's been way too many judges, even locally.
They're supposed to be independent.
That have abstained from making a decision at all, that have basically passed the buck because they didn't want to be labeled one way or the other.
It's hard to be impartial when we find things like this.
Yeah.
You start drawing the lines, and, you know, we haven't even, the old saying is what, follow the money? You know, we haven't even started following that trail yet.
Well, not even following the money even. I mean, just looking at basic trends. You think about some of these judges that have abstained from making a decision or ruling. You start looking at their, you know, their spouses, you know, beliefs and connections, affiliations with parties.
Oh, yeah, I know where you're going with that, yeah.
It's easy to see why they didn't want to get involved and make a decision, because happy wife, happy life, I guess. I'll just say it that way. But, I mean, these two actually stood up, listened to the evidence, and considered it with the law, and made a ruling.
Right.
So it's going to be interesting to see where it goes, which actually, you know, I know what we're going to talk about next, equally as interesting to see where this is going to go.
Yeah, so this was, you know, again, under the title of corruption. Well, it looked to me, again, I'm not an expert, but from my position, it looks
very... If it stinks like Flint water, it's probably Flint water.
Very suspect. The next one, okay, so in this case, we have one judge pulling another judge's ruling. Set that aside. Here we have a case that we aren't involved in. Our case is not cited in their case, but it is a case that is, again, very adjacent. It's on the same freeway. It's a different exit, but it's on the same freeway.
And it's interesting because they, again, address NRA certified questions, this time by a former head of the DHHS.
Yeah. So let's take one more really quick break, and we'll be right back. All right, welcome back. Thanks for sticking with us, Murphy's Law Podcast.
As we're diving deeper.
Ian, Chris, with you as usual in Studio P, down here in the Restaurante. We were alluding before we took that last quick break that there was one more case that we're kind of keeping an eye on. And it's been around for a while, and everybody kind of should know or has heard of the Flint water crisis. And former Governor Rick Snyder, and I believe 8 other people that were brought up on various charges. This case is now kind of back in the news again. This has been out there for a little while, but it's interesting the turn that it has taken. So the Comstock school's case that we were just talking about in the last segment was in reference to one judge removing another judge's temporary restraining order and how that is very suspect.
And this one is just as absurd.
This one, our attorney is handling that case in Kalamazoo, Comstock. Our win from Judge Hunter is cited in that case as well, which is a non-delegation argument, which is a separation of powers issue.
Which has also not been brought up in the Flint Water case.
So now we have, again, just coincidentally now, coming into an election season, this has been hanging out there for a little while. A
couple of years.
And now, all of a sudden, it is really kind of been cranked up.
Based on NRA certified questions.
Which is interesting. If you could look at the timeline of everything, and then NRA certified questions win, our win, January 13th of this year, and then this case coming around, and then the Supreme Court, Michigan Supreme Court, now taking this case. So let's step back and forget about everything that has happened with Flint Water. And I don't mean that maliciously. I just mean, like I've always talked about with our case, remove the emotion from it. All of the bullshit that happened in Flint and the way that that whole thing was fucked up, just soup to nuts, right? Yeah, I mean, Flint deserves way better than that.
They do.
I used to work in Flint, and I love Flint. I don't give a shit what anybody says.
They do. And the bad thing, though, is it turned into a total witch hunt from that point forward.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to say that it didn't have a political element to it. I mean, any person with a head on their shoulders can look at this thing and know that there was some obvious. Say what you will about the former governor. I don't have any skin in that game.
No,
I didn't vote for the dude, but
no. And for those that don't know exactly what happened, super quick rundown: Governor Snyder appointed an emergency city manager for Flint. That city manager decided to use water from the Flint River as they were building a pipeline from Huron to Flint for the drinking water. That drinking water was not treated properly and was somewhat corrosive, and affected anybody that had lead pipes in their home for water. And which led to the Legionnaire's disease and a lot of people getting sick, and unfortunately some people dying. But, you know, make your own opinion. It's been a question, is that really the governor's fault? But again, that's not what we're talking about now. We're talking about this shit.
So, you know, unfortunately too, Flint has kind of become the butt of several jokes, you know, around the country since this whole thing has kind of been exposed and all this bullshit. And obviously, it is a model of government failure in infrastructure.
Yeah.
So anytime you start hearing about a politician's going to say that, well, we're going to invest this amount of money and this amount of money in various infrastructure projects, please remember this. So stepping back from all of that involves Flint, we look at the proceedings, the law side of it, if you will. Again, I'm not a lawyer. He's not a lawyer. We just
watch a lot of TV.
On podcast.
Yeah.
So this now becomes an issue where these nine people, I believe, former Governor Rick Snyder and eight other former government officials, including at the time the Director of Health and Human Services, Nicholas Lyon. And this is kind of the one that we are looking at. There are other individuals involved in this, obviously, as well. But what we're keying in on is Nick's case versus the state of Michigan, or state of Michigan v. Nicholas Lyon. There's a great article in Michigan Live from maybe March 23rd that kind of breaks this down a little bit. That might be actually what's up here. And I'll just read from it really, really quick. The Supreme Court has agreed to hear oral arguments over the use of a one-person grand jury to indict former Governor Rick Snyder and eight other former government officials for crimes related to the Flint water crisis. We'll just stop right there. We don't need to read anything else out of this article.
Nope, that's enough to know.
It's that first sentence right there. Anybody that has watched, you know, any kind of movie, courtroom drama, anything has somewhat of an idea of what a grand jury looks like. They may not know exactly the details, but most of you in your mind's eye can imagine more than one person.
Which,
right?
Traditionally, I think it's from 9 to 12 people typically.
I don't even know.
But it's typically,
but I do know it's usually peers. An odd number.
Yeah, and it's typically peers. And it's used in cases where they think it might be tough to find witnesses that'll actually testify, or yeah.
Or there's information in the case that may potentially taint I said it. A taint. Jury pool. We're children.
So they basically
here.
Just get a group of your peers to hear the evidence and decide whether there's enough to press charges.
So grand juries by nature tend to be secretive, right? Yeah. Without having to say secret grand jury. There is at least some conversation that happens. There are differing ideas when looking at the evidence. So not one person, you know, the king on the hill doesn't
checks
have the
balances.
Ultimate say, right? Yeah. So there's at least some kind of discussion to have regarding the evidence presented to look at the potential of issuing indictments, whether it's for breaking and entering or whether it's for, you know, the O.J. Simpson case. But I don't think they used a grand jury in that case, secret grand jury, whatever.
No. But and traditionally, though, if an indictment is issued, then it therefore moves over to the prosecutor traditionally.
Right. So this is where, you know, we go back to the simplicity of the separation of powers. You know
that
middle school civics lesson of the legislative, the judicial, and the executive branch. Usually what happens is a prosecutor looks at the evidence or is presented evidence and makes a decision whether or not to prosecute Chris for breaking into my house. You know, there's fingerprints, I have Ring doorbell footage, blah, blah, blah,
I didn't
whatever.
Break in, I just changed the light bulbs.
Then...
The door was open.
Was actually talking about that.
The door was open.
It was too. Anyways, private security. The whole
Buddy
point
hurts.
Of this thing is to look at it and to think, how on earth can there be such a thing as a one person or a one judge? I believe in this case, grand jury,
yeah.
Right? So, an order was issued Wednesday, March 23rd. Not too long ago, the court granted a motion for immediate consideration for the former Department of Health and Human Services Director Nick Lyon, who contends the use of the secret grand jury violated the Michigan Constitution by authorizing a single person to both investigate and charge an individual with a crime.
Which,
so
that's
it's
sketchy shit.
It's not even just judging the evidence. He or she, I believe it's a he.
It's a he.
I've got to get his name out there. Judge Newblatt.
Yep, it's a he.
Don't know this guy. But apparently he felt within his privy to not only collect the evidence, investigate, and charge an individual crime.
All, again, with no explanation from the state as to why they decided to go with a grand juror instead of a grand jury.
So former director Lyon is charged with 9 counts of involuntary manslaughter and 1 count of willful neglect of duty. His case and 6 others are now tied to the water crisis. They're in Genesee Circuit Court,
yep.
Which that's what Flint, right? Held up by discovery issues and by various motions filed by defendants' attorneys. 2 other cases, including the case against Snyder, are pending in the Genesee District Court. So this is kind of important that this one has now moved forward to the Supreme Court. So again, I go back to the order that was referenced. March 23rd, the Michigan Supreme Court is taking up the motion for immediate consideration. The interesting part about this is it is a separation of powers argument, as was ours.
Yep.
Ours was non-delegation, which is still a separation of powers issue. This is as well. Now, what Nick, the former director of Health and Human Services, is saying that this judge, by being a one-person grand jury, investigating and issuing the charges is a violation of the Michigan Constitution and the separation of powers.
Which goes back to the old adage of you cannot be judge, juror, and executioner.
So I have the separation of powers. Section 2.
Show everybody how big that is.
From 1963. It's pretty short. And usually in these things, when we look at them, the shorter they are, usually the more broad they tend to be, right? Yeah. I think we found that to be true, yeah. At least as was the case in that. So here's what Section 2, Article 3, Section 2 of the State Constitution. This is from 1963. Separation of powers of government. The powers of government are divided into three branches, legislative, executive, and judicial. No person exercising powers of one branch, in this case, judicial, shall exercise powers properly belonging to another branch, except as expressly provided in the Constitution. So this judge is taking executive power and
judicial
power. He's trying to do both. That was our argument, was that the executive was also trying to take the lawmaking powers. They're the same, but they're separate. So April 14th is when briefs are due for this Supreme Court hearing. Now, the timing is also interesting because they also had our application, the health department's application in front of them, and they denied that opportunity to give clarification or to hear anything about 2253 being unconstitutional. And this one they're going to take. Now, what's going to be interesting here is this is the Health and Human Services director coming forward and saying this is a separation of powers issue and it's unconstitutional.
Which is really ironic, looking at how things have evolved the past couple of years. Now you have the former head of the DHHS using something that the pig has used in winning their lawsuits and now trying to spin it in his favor because this judge made a ruling. It's not a new thing. It was a couple of years ago, I think, or it wasn't recent. And, you know, the appeals process, you know, part of it was that Lyons had said that, okay, the judge also issued an order outside after his term had expired.
Yeah, there's a time frame yes.
So it kind of sat idle until, you know, the pigs non-delegation thing came about, and all of a sudden we're hearing the separation of powers get brought up by them again.
Yep.
So it's interesting how time has turned, and now all of a sudden he's using something that a win came from the Iron Pig to help him.
I want to see on April 14th in the brief for Nicholas Lyon, defendant against the people of the state of Michigan, a former health department director. I want to see in recertified questions argument as it relates to non-delegation and separation of powers, and I want to see Iron Pig versus MDHHS in there, also exonerating us and showing that as unconstitutional non-delegation separation of powers.
If that
issue
happens, to be fair, we should do a shot every time.
I am so interested to see. April 14th is going to be very, very interesting. There's, to me and our attorney, and we just have discussed this at length, it would be unimaginable in this argument of separation of powers to not use either one of these cases that come from within the last 2 years as it relates to separation of powers and executive branch using more power, judicial branch taking from. It's such an interesting turn. And everybody knows the nonsense about the Flint water crisis.
And this whole thing is just a witch hunt.
It's going to be very incredible to see if our case, we're hoping to see at least in recertified questions, but how do you not also tack on a validation of in recertified questions?
Yeah.
I mean, ours actually wasn't necessarily a validation, but it was another brick in that wall saying, listen, you guys are taking too much power. How is a one judge or one person grand jury
with no explanation as to why they went that route, why they bypassed a conventional grand jury, or why they even needed a grand jury to begin with?
Judge Newblad, you got some splaining to do, buddy. We're going to see what's going to happen with this. So April 14th, we're going to see exactly what's going to happen with this. I do know that the process at Comstock with the mask mandate over there, I believe, is also continuing. I there are a couple of different cases
good
in
God,
that area.
These are the days of our lives.
Yeah, I know a teacher has also brought a case against the Comstock Public Schools down there, which I believe we have the same representation in that case as well. So it's going to be really interesting to see how these things unfold, given, you know, the environment that we're in coming into springtime, summertime.
New variant.
Yeah, the new variant. You know, the issues with...
Gee, thanks, Governor.
With the governor's kidnapping trial, you know, not being, you know, what...
Yeah.
This is going to sound weird, what they were hoping the outcome was going to be.
You know, it's almost like I read an article that they basically referred to it as like an FBI power play. I mean, where they're trying to just prove a point, drop the hammer on it.
Let me preface this with, you know, we're obviously pro law enforcement folks.
Definitely.
But, it is not unimaginable to have the FBI in this country doing sketchy things. Let's just be honest.
That's not a stretch at all.
I mean, I've seen plenty of things that raise questions, but this seems very questionable. Whether or not any more investigation is done into this particular FBI agent that I believe has now moved on, yeah, and speaking of January 6th,
yep, the quote unquote insurrection,
I believe that he is now a part of that investigation.
I believe so.
I think is what I also read.
Yeah. So, and again, we don't agree with any of this.
Did this lead to him
stepping up?
You know, I mean, did his quote success in uncovering or what now seems to be pushing this plot forward? With these,
honestly, nothing would surprise me anymore. I mean, really, I mean, it's just, it's obscene. I mean, there's no words for it other than ice cream,
potatoes,
cotton.
Wind it up. Anyway, so that's enough for today.
Enough rambling.
Thank you for joining again.
My pleasure.
Thanks
as always
for joining. Again, we've got a great big festival coming up, May 29th, Memorial. Dave Landau is going to be there, comedian from Louder with Crowder. He's on Comedy Central. He's a Michigan dude.
Some
he's
national
a Detroit
as well.
Guy. He's going to be in Royal Oak coming up. I believe it's April 19th, if I have my information correct on
and
that.
And the big mystery guest coming.
Go see him. We've got a bunch of other stuff planned. Anybody that wants to jump on board, maybe with a sponsorship, go to the website, fuelfestnft.com.
Or just come hang out with us.
I mean, we're going to be doing that anyways. We're going to have an after party here with Dave. You buy an NFT, you actually get into the VIP access and all kinds of other stuff. But anyway, let's wrap it up, man. Thank you so much again, as always. The rundown for today is complete. Go out there, join us, subscribe wherever we are, Spotify, YouTube. Thanks for joining us. Ian Murphy, Chris Kuhn, Murphy's Law, a couple of dicks out.